This is Pastor Mike Curlin of Truth Bible Fellowship in the beautiful village of South Onondaga, and I am your pastor for the day. I want to read a passage from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and to get started, specifically verse 14. It goes like this: "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, if one died for all, then all were dead." The passage uses archaic language with the term constraineth and informs us that the love of Christ brings about this constraining upon his followers. I like to understand the meaning of words that are used in Scripture because then I know what I'm being asked to do or warned against, etc. Constraineth means to compel or force towards a course of action. The original Greek means literally to bind tightly together. So the apostle's letting us know that because Jesus loves us and because we love him, he's given us little wiggle room out of the following argument he places before us as he proceeds. 2 Corinthians 5:15 goes on to say, "And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again." In other words, Jesus died to save us from the second death, and when we follow him spiritually in his death on the cross, we also died. As a result of his resurrection, we also rose with him, and now as those alive in him and because of him, we now must die to our own desires and live our lives to fulfill his. I think we can agree that there's little loophole thinking or wiggle room in that passage. But next comes a therefore. And for the seasoned saints out there, you'll recognize that when you come across a therefore, it's wise to find out what it's there for. In this case, we have Paul's admonition we've already covered. No wiggle room. So let's bravely look at what action is required because of our agreement that we are obligated by love. 2 Corinthians 5:16 and 17 say, "Therefore, from now on, we regard no accord to the flesh. Even though we've known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." The apostle's telling us that we must not consider our brothers and sisters in the Lord according to their carnal behaviors and natures, but by understanding them as new creations in Christ. And this goes a long way to help us fulfill the command of Jesus to love one another, and also contributes to keeping the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace as we are encouraged in another place. So let's take this one step further. If every person we meet is one of two types, those who are redeemed and those who are not, let's go even further. If we view every person we meet as those that will be redeemed and those that will not, for only God knows the end from the beginning, and who will or will not endure to the end and therefore be saved, this should change our whole outlook on how we assess people and goes a long way in understanding the impossible passage of Scripture where Jesus commands us to love our enemies. If we really can view them, as the apostle asks in our text, as not according to the flesh, which is temporal, but that we see and understand them spiritually, which is eternal, then not knowing their eternal end in either regard as ultimately saved or damned, only God knows that, then we must love them as a brother or a sister or as one who needs to hear the love of Jesus regarding their eternal soul. In either instance, our motivating attitude toward them would be the same, and that is of love. Now, wouldn't that make the world a better place, one person at a time? This is Pastor Mike Curlin of Truth Bible Fellowship in the beautiful village of South Onondaga, and I am your pastor for the day.